Hi, Mountain View. This is Shino Tanaka, and I'm here with
Saul Jaeger, and this is the next edition of the Silicon Valley Beat.
That's right.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, the Mountain View Silicon Valley Beat.
Right.
So we have to apologize. We actually did come up with a couple of podcasts earlier this week, but unfortunately, as is the nature with police work, mm-hmm. things change, and things change very quickly. And so, unfortunately, we couldn't push those out because we had an incident that we'll talk about a little bit later in this podcast.
Right. We're trying to be as timely as possible with information that we're pushing out, and mm-hmm. obviously our priority is calls for service and things that are going on in the community. So you guys all saw the news about, hopefully saw the news about the drug overdose case. We'll talk about that a little bit later in this podcast.
That's
so
right.
How about we hit the what's going on and what's been happening in the past couple
yeah,
days?
Yeah, let's check out the police blotter. You want to start us off there?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yep. Again, we've seen an increase in the number of burglaries. That's always seems to be the trend now. And again, a lot of these things come down to what we've talked about in past podcasts and what we talk about often when we talk to communities is to secure your own things to make yourself less of a target, right? So there's one here on 800 block of West El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually a business where one of the front door windows was smashed open. So this I don't have all the details, but obviously this could have been a locked business kind of thing. It looks like this occurred at about 10:30 at night. So I'm assuming that it's locked, but you know, when you leave things in plain views, like plain view, such as electronics and things like that, that makes it even more attractive for somebody to come in and maybe smash the window, grab what they need to grab, and get right out.
Especially if they can see it.
Yeah,
if they can
see it right there. But then it's hard because what if your business is an electronic business, right? You do want to have things up and viewable. So
yeah, that's why it's important, I think, just to have, you know, some basic security measures in place. And we'll mm-hmm. be talking about that a little bit more, I think, down the road mm-hmm. In some upcoming podcasts. We've had some great suggestions that have come in via Facebook and Twitter and email about things that are important, like how do you keep your home safe, especially during the summertime when windows are left open, mm-hmm. doors are left open, you know, to let that breeze come in.
Yeah, best practices.
And then we forget about mm-hmm. them, right, to close them when we head out. So
in
any case, with businesses, it's a little bit difficult because obviously, you know, like you said, Sergeant Jaeger, if you have an electronics business and that is your business, you know, criminals are going to know that you probably got some good stuff in there. So, you know, we definitely encourage folks to get alarms, mm-hmm. burglar alarms, to make sure they're tested and they work properly. Also to secure items in a safe.
And you know, surveillance systems are also very inexpensive
today.
That's
right. Good point.
And they may not actually, it may deter. It's not going to prevent, but it does help in the investigation greatly.
It does. And even if you're a resident here, you know, there's so many fantastic mm-hmm. Surveillance cameras that are secure that you can view over, you know, say your laptop.
Yeah.
If you're remote, over your mobile phone.
Yeah.
And we have actually gotten some fantastic video footage as a result of some crimes that have happened. And then, you know, folks will submit them to us. And lo and behold, we've been able to ID a vehicle through a license plate on that vehicle.
Yeah, and people don't even realize. I mean, mm-hmm. and again, we'll get into all the details when we do the podcast about, you know, best practices for home safety and things like that. But, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is, yes, I have a surveillance system, but I don't video the front, you know, the street. Well, a lot of times if you actually look, the detective will come back and look at what you're actually recording, and they just need the top corner of, you know, you may be recording the front entry walkway up to your house, but the top little corner of the video actually shows part of the street. And that's all we need sometimes. Again, that's the one little clue. So just because your surveillance system doesn't record the street, right, it may actually catch something through a window, you know, through something like that. And that's the kind of creative investigations that our detectives often look for. So
that can help.
But you know,
the case.
Right back mm-hmm. down to that, we go over to the 300 block of Sylvan. This mm-hmm. is another example of, you know, unknown suspects enter a residence through an open window.
Oh no!
So open window.
Mm.
There's
and
not a lot of prevention that can happen with that. So.
And what they steal?
This was jewelry. So,
yikes! Yeah. So again, I mean, you know, people. I mean, I can't tell you how many reports we got last summer mm-hmm. around folks whose home or business had, or vehicle even, had been, stuff had been taken out of it. One, you know, obviously don't leave important valuables, you know, within plain sight, especially in your vehicle. But also, do a little bit of due diligence as far as when you leave your home or your vehicle or your business, make sure you just kind of do a walk around and check the doors.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, our officers will go out on patrol, especially in the business districts, and they'll, you know, do door checks. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, you will always generally find one door that's open.
Yep.
And that's,
you know, and on that same, I know we talked about this in a podcast that nobody will hear. But we talked about the difference between, you know, the crime of walking into an open, unlocked door, mm-hmm. or opening an unlocked car, mm-hmm. versus a locked vehicle or secured residence, or, you know, and that changes the crime from a burglary to a petty or grand theft, depending on the amount of money, right? So, and that comes right back down to the penalties that are going to be put on the person when we do catch them. So
now, when you say amount of money, do you mean the amount of money of items stolen?
Right, the loss, the
okay.
loss total.
Got
so,
it.
You know, it a burglary is a higher felony than a grand theft or a petty theft. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if somebody goes into your car and takes your stuff, and it's a couple hundred dollars worth of things, but your car was unlocked, that's going to be a petty theft. Versus if your car was locked and they took the same amount of stuff, it's a burglary. So, you know, there's a, and we'll get into the details and stuff when we again talk about all the prevention and all that kind of things that go on.
Yeah, we could spend hours talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we could spend hours talking about anything.
That's true.
Really,
that's
the bottom line is the lesson learned in this is lock up your things, shut your doors, lock your doors, try not to leave things in plain sight that would be attractive to a criminal.
And you're going to hear us say that over and over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably at the point where you're going to be sick of us saying it, but it's so true. We cannot underscore enough the importance of just taking a little bit of time and removing the valuables from plain view. And this really, in particular, has to do with vehicles. We see cars that are broken into, and laptops, backpacks, iPhones, jewelry, you know, they're taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of cars, and we know it's hard. I mean, both Sergeant Jaeger and I are both parents. We have kids. We understand that, you know, you're in a rush. You know, you're trying to get everything, you know, done, organized, you know, and, you know, school drop-offs, all that stuff. We get it. Then the day, though, your time is going to be taken away by having to fix broken windows, file police reports, and recover property, file those claims, you know, and that's more of a headache, really. So just spend a couple minutes, if you can, and just lock your doors, close your windows, secure your property out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
So can we talk about traffic? Because I love talking about
traffic.
Oh,
boy, yes. Yeah, that motor officer has never left you, huh?
You know,
yeah.
It's
okay.
Never
all right,
go
let,
away,
let's talk so. Traffic because I think we've got two.
Yeah, one of the big ones that jumps out at me, and you're going to hear us when we bring in the traffic team and have those guys talk about what's going on and some of the things they're seeing. This is one that's just so preventable and so dangerous. But we had somebody drive through the Castro Central Expressway, Castro Evelyn area, as the crossing arms for the train was coming down, decided that it would be a good idea to go through the flashing red lights, go under the and ignore the loud, you know, bings and bells and things that are going on, and drive under those arms, just barely missing the car and just barely missing I don't even know how much those things weigh, but train that had to honk and sound its horn as a warning to the driver.
Right, so that basically the vehicle was so close to the train coming that the train even saw it and had to honk at it. I mean, fortunately, they had that time.
Yeah,
right?
Trains but, can't stop.
Oh, boy.
Very
yeah,
quickly.
That would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about the driver behind this vehicle going to the train track.
So, you know, once the car was stopped, it was determined that the driver was actually driving on a suspended driver's license.
Right, which is 14601.2, subsection A of the California Vehicle Code.
That whole section, 14601 section, is all about suspended licenses and things.
Right.
Anyway, it turned out he was also
driving under the influence
of
alcohol.
He was also DUI,
Not a good idea. I mean, we talked about this, you know, a couple weeks ago, where we had that driver driving down the tracks, right? And, you know, made it about, 84 feet down the tracks and got stuck.
Yeah.
That driver was also under the influence of alcohol. So please, people, you know, help us out here. we DUIs are preventable. Mm-hmm. When you feel even buzzed, if you see someone who is a friend of yours, a family member, a coworker, you know, or just somebody, you know, who's walking on the bar about to get into a car or from a party, hey man, we all like to have a good time, but you know, we got to draw the line at some point. You know, enough is enough, and that single driver can cause so much damage.
Yeah, I mean, they estimate that, you know, a taxi ride home pretty much anywhere in the Bay Area is going to be less than $50. Even if you live kind of far away. I mean, I don't know what taxi prices are, but, you know, a DUI can cost upwards of $10,000 to $15,000 if that's without getting into an accident, mm-hmm. right? So,
and if you've had previous offenses, right. it goes up even more.
And you're going to have your driver's license suspended, and God forbid you have to drive for work or something like that, then, you know, it's a whole big pain that's going to happen to you. And, you know, and it should, I think. I mean, the penalties are there for a reason, but it's so preventable, again, that, you know, if you find yourself playing that game of, well, I had one drink and that was an hour ago, and then if you had alcohol, just don't drive. Just don't drive.
Bottom line, don't drive.
So, you know, and this was something that could have been really horrible. So, you know, had he been hit by a train, that's a big problem.
Right. Or had he hit someone.
Yeah, going through.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes back again, I'm a bit passionate about this stuff, but, you know, he decided to not stop at the flashing red lights. And we know through our training, which everybody got that has a driver's license, mm-hmm. a flashing red light is handled like a
stop sign.
It's a stop sign, right? So you stop and then you proceed when safe. Well, had he stopped at the flashing red lights, he would have seen the gigantic crossing arms down in front of him and the million other lights and audible alarms flashing. And then obviously that's not safe to go through,
it's
right?
What the FBI calls.
That's a clue.
That's right. And you know what? This is a great segue because we did receive a message on Facebook from one of our followers who asked about flashing red versus solid red, and especially at that particular intersection mm-hmm. where the DUI driver was cited and found, as well as the intersection over on Rangsdorf and mm-hmm. Central Expressway. Now, the rules of the road, those two intersections are pretty much drawn out on the road, right? You see left turn arrow, you see a straight arrow, as well as various signs hanging. So, Sergeant Jaeger, enlighten us a little bit about what it means, you know, what those signs mean, you know, and why are people getting so angry when they're stopped at those signs and people aren't going through, you know, the intersection?
Yeah, well, without psychoanalyzing what people are getting angry, I have no idea. Probably because of the speed of Silicon Valley. But both of those intersections, Rangsdorf and Central Expressway and Crisanto and Castro, Evelyn, Central Expressway, similar intersections. They're very busy. They're both main thoroughfares to the city in and out. And another similarity is they've both been recently changed. The way the lane structures are changed, the way the timing of the lights and things, it's all different. So whenever you throw something different into the mix, that makes it a little bit maybe more confusing because people aren't really paying attention or they're so used to kind of the rut that they're in about how they get to work or whatever. But the lesson in this one, again, to kind of bring it simple, is to be aware of what you're doing. So when you're driving, look at the lane markings that are on the ground that you're driving, you know, over as you're approaching the intersection. Watch the lights. Look at the signs. It's all signed correctly. It's very clear when you actually, if you were to walk there and look at the intersection, you'd know exactly what to do. For instance, the Rangsdorf and Crisanto intersection. The light at Crisanto used to be a flashing red light, which means you drive up to it and stop and then proceed through to the next, whatever the next intersection is. Now it's a solid red light. So you have to stop and stay stopped the whole time.
Right. And for those who are behind that stopped vehicle, please don't honk your horn or wave your arms around, because that person is actually doing the right thing.
Yep.
Not only have they stopped, which is what they're required to do now, but they aren't blocking the intersection, which is a whole other vehicle code violation. So again, you know, I think the other part of this is not only should you follow the signs, you know, not hanging up the traffic lights and also the signs that are drawn out on the roadway, but mm-hmm. it's also a really good idea, especially when there is change, to give people benefit of the doubt and to just take pause and observe your surroundings. You know, you shouldn't be on your mobile phone, and if you're on a conference call and, you know, in your car, mm-hmm. just take a breather. Don't honk your horn, because honking your horn when it isn't an emergency is also a vehicle code violation. Is that right?
It is. It's a citable violation too. And then even beyond that, you know, if you've already got a confused driver in front of you, laying on your horn, short, long, whatever kind of honk, it's not going to help you any, and it's not going to help the confused driver any more or less than they're already doing. So, you know, that's just another frustration. But and there's we can talk about traffic stuff all day. But if people have specific questions, please, you know, send those in to us, and we'll do our best to get the information to you. And again, we're going to be bringing in guests that are our industry experts and for the city of Mountain View to talk about things like that. So we are planning on bringing in our traffic team or some of the guys from the traffic team to talk about that. We're going to bring in our canine, one of our canines, and hopefully the handler can do more talking than the canine, right?
Less about traffic and more about the work that they do.
Right, right. And but again, they, you know, if you guys have questions and you're curious about something, send it over to us. We are listening, and we are you know, filing those away so we can try to handle them as they come up. So.
Right, and speaking of which, you can find us online at mountainviewpoliceblog.com. That's our WordPress.com blog. It's mountainviewpoliceblog.com, all spelled out. Additionally, we are on Twitter at MountainViewPD. That's at MountainViewPD. And we are on Facebook, where we get a bunch of really great comments and emails from folks within the community. And there you can find us at Mountain View Police Department, all spelled out. Additionally, if you want to receive important alerts to your cell phone and or email, we encourage you to sign up for our Nixle alerts. You can text your zip code to 888-777. That's 888-777. Text your zip code to that number from your smartphone, and you will receive alerts from the police department pretty much regarding any critical incident, bad traffic problems that we're having. That will be pushed out to you immediately.
Okay, so let's since we're getting here to the 16-minute time frame, let's talk about the incident that occurred actually on Tuesday mid-morning.
Yeah, let's do that. And really, this has probably been the biggest piece of
information.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, this is an important one. And yeah, if people were watching the media, there's been a lot of buzz about this. We went out with a press release and public information yesterday morning.
Right, but we have to give kudos to the Mountain View Los Altos School District. They did a fantastic job of working with us.
Yes.
On communicating with parents ahead of time. And as a parent who has a kid in the school district, I gotta say, give him huge props, because oftentimes, as you know, Sergeant Jaeger, fear of, you know, giving information or being transparent, especially within law enforcement, can go one of both ways, right?
Yep.
But we're fortunate to live in a community that supports the sharing of information, you know, transparency, obviously, without sharing about that individual, you know, especially when they're a juvenile.
Yes.
And there are medical issues involved, but enough information to help recognize, to indicate, you know, hey, we're paying attention, and, and to help educate not only the parents, but the kids.
Yeah, and it also says something about the relationship with the police department and the school district as well. The police department and the school district talk constantly. The missions are very similar. Obviously, the safety and security of our community includes our schools. They're one of our biggest stakeholders when we talk to them. So, in the press release, there was a letter that was actually written, authored by both the police chief and the superintendent, talking about the issue, talking about the drug a little bit, about what's going to happen. And that was actually read to the students yesterday morning.
And that letter came from Barry Groves, Dr. Barry Groves, who is the superintendent of the Mountain View Los Altos High School District, as well as our chief, Scott Vermeer. He's a police chief and the assistant city manager of public safety. And we're just going to take some time here to read it to you. So for those who maybe didn't see it or are interested in hearing about it, you can definitely go to our blog, mountainviewpoliceblog.com. It's posted there. But this letter is dated March 12th, 2014, and it states, "Parents and students of the Mountain View Los Altos High School District. Yesterday, a high school student from Mountain View was found unresponsive on the Stevens Creek Trail. The student was transported to a local hospital and is being treated for a possible drug overdose. Our thoughts are with the student and family. The Mountain View Police Department is conducting a thorough and extensive investigation, as well as working with Santa Clara County Public Health, the Mountain View Los Altos High School District, and local hospitals to identify similar incidents and trends. The suspected drug used by the student was possibly DOC." And I'm going to omit the name of what DOC actually means here, because I don't think any of us can pronounce it correctly. But moving on, DOC is a fairly new psychedelic street drug similar to LSD and is a combination of hallucinogenic and amphetamine chemicals. It has very long-lasting effects and is extremely dangerous. I encourage you to maintain an open dialogue about the very real dangers of drug use, abuse, and experimentation. Ask questions and stay informed. For information about programs and services offered by Santa Clara County Public Health, we encourage you to go to, and I'm just going to read out this URL to you, that's www.sccgov.org. Again, that's www.scc, that stands for Santa Clara County, gov, G-O-V, .org, O-R-G. And from there, it's kind of a long URL, so I will just encourage everyone to find the Department of Alcohol and Drug Services. That's the division that you'll want to find or look for on that website. Mm-hmm. The letter continues on by saying, I assure you we are doing all we can to make our schools and community as safe as possible. Our school resource officers will be working with the district to hold an educational forum in the near future to inform you about threats we are seeing to our students, as well as learn about the resources available. I thank you in advance for your help in working with us to help prevent another event like the one yesterday. And it's signed sincerely, Police Chief Scott Vermeer and Dr. Barry Groves. Mm-hmm. So, Sergeant Jaeger, let's talk very briefly about what our plans are coming up, because this letter mentions the educational forum mm-hmm. in the near future.
Well, so immediately, one of the reasons why this letter was written, obviously, is to further enforce the fact that there's communication going on and transparency with the schools. But we were also hoping that this letter would be a conversation starter for parents to talk to their students, right? That's the number one kind of first thing that needs to happen, is that dialogue with your kid. And this goes beyond DOC or drugs even. I mean, this can be about any sort of behavior or kind of
issue you're having.
Yeah, I mean, you can't emphasize it enough that, you know, any sort of change in behavior with your kid, some of it's normal, some of it's not, but they need to feel kind of comfortable coming to you to talk about things, and you need to also be able to have those sort of uncomfortable, critical conversations that need to happen as a parent back to your child, you know, talking about things like this. You know, hey, I saw a letter today from the school talking about this crazy drug. You know, what's going on? Do you know anybody who's doing it? And, you know, open those dialogues.
Right. And I think, you know, as a parent, you know, teenagers, you can understand and appreciate this too, mm-hmm. is, you know, they're going through a lot of change and pressure, and it's really difficult. If you haven't already established sometimes that open dialogue and the communication channels with your children or your child from an early age, where, you know, you build that right. Rapport with them, because really that's what it is. It's respect. It's, you know, just an open dialogue without fear of being criticized, right?
Right.
You know, it's very hard to come into that as a teenager. I mean, I can remember when I was a teenager. I mean, it was tough talking to our parents.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, don't give up. It's never too late. It's never too late to open those channels. And if you need help, ask for it. Talk to one of our school resource officers. Talk to the school. Talk to some of our great community resources. CHAC, the Community Health and Awareness mm-hmm. Council, is a great one. They are now located on El Camino, formerly on Church Street. And you can find them on their website, which is chacmv.org. That's chacmv.org. Now, additionally, we have some other great resources like the YMCA at Silicon mm-hmm. Valley. Oftentimes, hospitals will offer resources available to you. But the bottom line is it starts at home. We need to have these conversations with our kids.
Yeah.
We need to stay on top of, you know, what they're doing, who they're hanging out with. It changes, you know. As they say, you know, parenting doesn't get easier; it just evolves over time, and you're dealing with different issues.
Yeah. And there's no handbook.
Unfortunately, yeah.
There's no directions.
Yeah, you know, there really is not.
So moving forward, then with this incident specifically, some of the things that we are doing is, we are working with our school resource officers as well as the school to put together that kind of a summit or class to talk about some of the issues and things. But more importantly, we're also going to be putting together a informational flyer. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, we'll be putting together like an info package, like a one-pager for educators, for parents, for anyone really, to get mm-hmm. some information about not just the DOC drug that we're seeing, because these drugs, irrespective of what they're called, they're out there and they're changing constantly. But at the end of the day, it's really about, like you said, just educating, staying on top of, you know, mm-hmm. being aware, looking for signs and symptoms, and fundamentally just having a great
relationship
with not only your children, but your community, your teachers, the educators, and to stay on top of it. And, you know, working with law enforcement, we can only do one part of sort of the puzzle. And, you know, as we say in this department, it takes a community. It takes you as an individual to step up. It takes a community to work together. It takes us to come in and help combat crime, prevent crime, and make good arrest, and also to help educate folks.
Yeah, and you know, also this falls right back. You know, we talk about in property crimes or in crimes in general and things, if you see something, say something, right? We want to know about it. Call the police department right away. Well, you know, that same sort of something's funny feeling or something's wrong or whatever with your teenager, you're probably right. Something's going on. Is it a DOC overdose thing? Who knows? It may not be. It may be that they did poorly on a test and they don't want to tell you, right? That may be
Or they broke
stressful.
Up with their girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yeah, or their favorite artist is not now coming to the Shoreline Amphitheater.
Right, or their BFF, you know, totally dissed them in front of their friends at lunchtime.
Oh, my God, yeah. So, you know, whatever, not to dismiss any of that, but, you know, you never really know what the problem is, but the lesson is, again, if you see something, say something, right? If you feel like something's a little wrong, they're being quiet, they're shutting themselves in their room longer, you see some weird verbiage on the, maybe if you watch them on Facebook or their phone or they're doing
Twitter,
you
know,
they're
all
acting,
apps,
yeah, they're acting a little strangely, ask them what's going on. It's your job, really, as your as the parent to kind of pry a little bit. You're really not their friend, right? I mean, you're their parent.
They're
the
parent. And the same thing with us, and I think, you know, when you're dealing with their friends, we need to take care of each other. Their friends need to take care of each other. And with regards to the incident that happened on Tuesday with the overdose, we received an anonymous phone call from someone reporting the incident. Mm-hmm. And we don't know who that caller, you know, was or is. It's really hard to say. But our hope is that one of their friends stepped up and said, hey, we think something is happening. So really, we need to look out for each other. And, you know, we know peer pressure is out there. It's very difficult to combat, especially if you feel like, you know, you're maybe failing at home, in school. There's so many
just to fit in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to empower our children to let them know that they need to watch out for each other and they need to get each other's backs.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't ever be afraid to call the police. Sure, the outcome may not be what you want it to be, but we need to help each other out. And it's okay to be that person who calls and says, something's not right, I need your help, because we will be there to help you.
Yeah, reach out. For sure, reach out. And, you know, keep an eye. I mean, obviously, if you saw any of the news, you saw my gigantic head on the TV somewhere
along
the line.
Which looks like five times normal size.
It's really not that big. But anyway, you know, you guys all kind of know what's already happening and things. And we, again, as the police department, we pride ourselves in being transparent to the point where we want everybody to know what's happening. With, of course, we're going to keep those same securities involved. Anything that's going to affect the prosecution of a case, obviously, those types of things we're not going to talk
about.
Right,
we're not going to release juveniles' information. We're not going to release health information, medical information.
But, you know, something like this is a serious thing, and we take it very seriously, and we're very aggressive about it.
And it hits close to home for
us.
You know,
from
the city, you know, Mountain View, we take stuff like this very seriously. From, you know, personally as individuals, from the chief down, I mean, a lot of us have children, and a lot of them are nearing this age, will be this age at some point, or are this age. And it's really hard for us to see this. And the officers who responded to that incident on Tuesday, you know, I had a chance to sit in on a briefing with all of them, and they did an amazing job. And I know for sure the firefighters, you know, Mountain View Fire did a fantastic job, because it is very stressful when you see something like that. And
I know this prompted conversations with my son and I, about this type of stuff.
Yeah,
so, you know,
this is a good reminder.
Right? Yeah, it is.
Well,
it really is.
On that note, we hope you all enjoy the rest of your day. We will follow up with a podcast when we have some more information for you to share that is around these various street drugs.
And again, we are going to shoot for a Monday and Thursday podcast,
something like that.
But again, our priority is the safety of and public safety and law enforcement type stuff that we're doing. So, unfortunately, when things happen and we have to jump, Chino and I, this goes to the sort of the bottom of the list. So, but keep an eye on Twitter and our social channels, because we do push out a lot of information there.
Go there,
and then you can also subscribe to the podcast now, right?
That's right. We are on iTunes.
Big time.
Yep. If you do an iTunes search for Mountain View Police or the Silicon Valley Beat, you will find us. So it makes it a little bit easier for you to download our podcast. And, of course, we'll share them wherever we are.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that does it. And if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call, 650-903-6344. And you can visit us online at mountainviewpoliceblog.com. And if this is an emergency, make sure you call
911 right away, 911. So have a good weekend if we don't have another one before, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.
I hope so. Thanks, everyone.
Any available? I got a 1066 that just ran across from the apartment complex towards the train track and might be hiding.
10 Barber, 1019.